Just going to share one or two thoughts that the Spirit had in mind. This is actually a scary position for me because I'm speaking in front of loads of brothers that know way more than me. But I'm not here to basically show how much I know, but just what the Spirit has led me to say. So I'm just being led by the Spirit, and I'm up here speaking now. So Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 12. I don't want to jump ahead here, but it's just some thoughts of, that the Spirit led me to say. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Sorry, not verse 12. I will read from verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And then I'm going to skip over to verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Maybe brothers may want to add some more to it as well, or perhaps say something on a different subject. But I thought about the fact that as sons of God, and for those that have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are sons of God. Positionally, they have become sons of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. And the verses that I read in verse 17, it says that we are heirs of God. Heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. And so the inheritance that we receive, we have that right to receive the inheritance because we are connected with God. We are sons of God and we are heirs of God. And one example came to mind was in Luke chapter 15. We know the story of the prodigal son. So I'm not going to read it all out, but I am going to go through different points as I read. And so Luke chapter 15, we start from verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. So I just want to stop there and say that the son here, he had the right to inherit this. He couldn't wait to have it, but it was his right to have it. And he asked to have it too early, but yet it was his right to have it. He was his son, and he had this right. The older son, he also had the right of inheritance too as well. But the younger son, he wanted his portion early. We as sons of God, we as children of God, we as heirs of God, we have the right of inheritance, all that the Lord Jesus, all that God has for us, in store for us. If we read on, we see that he spent it in reckless living. And verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So we have here, basically, I won't read on because we know the end of the story, that this poor boy, he wanted his inheritance early. He took it. He went to a far country, far away from his father, and he spent it in squanderous living, reckless living. And I don't know really, I think this story may maybe apply more to sinners, but I'm going to make it apply more to those believers that have given their life to Christ, that are saved, that are called sons of God or children of God. And we know of those that have gone astray, that have neglected God, that were Christians, living Christians, living the life that they should be living, but have gone astray, that have gone into the world, that have done things that we know are an abomination. We know we have many friends we know that have gone this way. And I grew up with one that have done the same as well. But yet we see in the story here in Luke chapter 15 that he was still a son. That has not changed. He was still a son. We know the end of the story, that the father received him with gladness. And the father gave them many gifts. The father blessed him. We know about the older son, that the older son, he was angry about this. And he was angry that the father treated him this way. But my point is that once you are a son, you will remain a son. It doesn't make it right to go astray from the Lord, because as we read in Romans, about the fact that we need to practically live this life out. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It says. But we know that lots of Christians think that, do you know what? When I give my life to Christ, that's it. I'm going to go into the world and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No. Well, we know that in the end, there's going to be a judgment. But we won't talk about that. But most Christians believe that it's just a life insurance. I get saved and then that's it. I go into the world and I do whatever I want. But no, that is not the case at all. But we see here in the story that it is mainly about the Father's love. That the Father continues to wait for that child to come back. For that child to come to repentance. And I think this is the same thing with us too as well. For those that have gone astray, let's exercise patience for them. Because hopefully, if we continue to exercise patience, hope we continue to pray, hopefully they will come back, because the Father is waiting for them to come back. The Father is waiting for them to come back to repentance. And we read in the end, now we'll end here, it says, for this, in verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So, again, I said, maybe this is applying to sinners, but I just wanted to apply this to those that are saved. That when you come back, this is what God the Father will be saying to you. That you were once dead, and you're alive, you were lost, and you're found. And there's the celebration, because you come back to repentance.